Welcome back to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
It's always good to be here with you, Brittany, and thank you to the PSEA and the PAAFL-CIO for supporting the show. We appreciate it.
And joining us right now, we've got Chris Garlock of the DC Labor Council. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, guys. Greetings literally from the streets of DC. I'm right out here on I and 16th. I was just finishing up lunch with a good friend from the laborers.
You know
the laborers.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, they build this city. So
they've built a lot of cities.
They build a lot of cities. Yes, they do. It was really cool. This is Patty Devlin from the laborers. Great, great labor organizer. And she had just shown a film for the Labor Fest called Sista in the Brotherhood, and had a really, one of our free Friday screenings at the AFL-CIO.
Okay.
Really, really powerful film. You know, I didn't realize it was this low. What do you think the percentage of the, I think it's in construction in general. What would you say the percentage in the construction industry is women?
That's a tough 15? Like, I don't want to, like, lowball this and make it sound really terrible, but unfortunately, I don't think it's probably very high.
No.
Okay, just throw out a number.
My guess is 15.
My gut said 10.
15. 10. No, 2.9.
Whoa.
2.9.
And I was worried about looking bad for underestimating.
they would kill for 10 or 15. So, yeah, really, really bad. And for the reasons that you can imagine, I mean, you know, it's a real guy's world, they were saying. You know, it's a lot of sexism, a lot of racism, a lot of all kinds of isms. I mean, it's not that women can't do the work, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
We had a woman named Dee, who is a member of the Laborers Local 11 here in D.C., and she talked about, you know, doing the work. And, you know, the work itself, I mean, yeah, it's hard, it's tough, but, you know, women can do it. But they just face a lot of barriers to getting in there. So it was a really great film, Sista in a Brotherhood, just really powerful. And, you know, it's interesting. It was one of the few guys in the room. I was kind of reflecting on, you know, we had a little debrief afterwards kind of talking about it. And, you know, I'll be honest, it made me mad, you know, just I mean, not just as a you know, somebody watching as a fellow worker, but as a guy, I was embarrassed, you know, that women are treated in these ways and discriminated against still in 2017. I kind of was hoping we were over a lot of this. And I'm sure things are better now than, you know, back in the day. But, you know, it's still tough. Patty was telling me that, you know, OSHA regs are that women are supposed to have their own separate lockable bathroom and, you know, often don't, which is a problem, you know, for all kinds of reasons. And I was thinking that, you know, one of the films we're showing later on in the festival, Hidden Figures. Have you guys seen Hidden Figures?
I have not yet, and I'm so disappointed in myself that I haven't, because I missed it when it was in theaters, and now I'm not sure if it's out on DVD yet or if it's about to be, but I've been starting to see some advertisements on my TV and in my on-demand and stuff like that. I plan on, once I get a moment here, sitting down and watching that, because I heard it was a fantastic movie.
It is so good, because honestly, I didn't see it when it first came out either. You know, I was still screening films for the Labor Film Festival, and somebody's like, oh, you need to go check this out. You know, you might be interested. And I went to see it. It was the same thing, you know, and actually access to bathrooms for women, you know, comes up again. So clearly this is an issue, and it's been an issue for a long time. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, you might not think about. And certainly as a guy, you know, you wouldn't think about it. But there are a couple of key scenes in that particular film where that is raised. So, again, you know, just a lot of times, you know, with these labor films, you know, there's very few labor films we show where you just sort of go and you're entertained and, you know, kind of have that feel good. You know, even when they are, there's always something there to kind of make you think and you know, I'll be honest, like to kind of tick you off a little bit. And then I think we're doing our job.
I'm not surprised you want to push some people's buttons.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
You know, you got them, I'll push them. So. A couple of things we got coming up. We do still have tickets for the soccer game tomorrow. Just a reminder, it's at 7, but the real action is at the tailgate party, 5 o'clock, lot 8. I know some people, honestly, that just come for the tailgate party. They don't even go to the game. They just come for the tailgate party. Great food, great drinks, you know, a lot lots of good friends. You hang out with your labor buddies. And then they just head on about their business. Although, you know, it's a great soccer game, too. We're going to have a thing mid-game. Everybody goes out on the field. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well,
highly
cool.
Recommend it. Yeah,
who's playing?
Yeah. And the Philadelphia Union. We're playing the – I love it. It's like an all-Union night, you know.
I love it.
United playing the Philadelphia Union in the Union night at D.C. I mean, I don't think we get too many more unions in there, you know.
Yeah, really.
So
I love
that'll
it.
Be fun. Yep. Monday night, No God, No Master with David Strathairn. And then Tuesday is our big, big show, Mate One. We'll talk more about that on Monday. But Mate One with John Sales. And we'll probably be giving away some tickets for that. So I don't know if you guys are able to handle call-ins for folks in the D.C. area. But I'd be happy to make some free passes available if folks want to do that.
Yeah, if someone wants to get a hold of us, we'd be happy to, you know, hook you up with Chris Garlock and get you some free passes for Labor Fest, or for that event for Labor Fest.
So how do they do that? How do, to you guys, where would they go?
Let's see. I'd say best number, we could have them call the studio or we could have them email us. 412-904-1948 is our studio line. And then we'll be here till about 4:30 Eastern time, guys. So you got to get this in. And then email address, we'll shout them out to me. You can shoot me an email, Brittany, Brittany, at theunionedge.com.
All right. Well, if you're in the Metro DC area and you want to see Mate Juan and see John Sales, call that number or shoot Brittany an email and we'll get you some free passes. It's going to be a great, great show. We're going to be in Theater One. My favorite theater at the American Film Institute up in Silver Spring, and I am really looking forward to doing the Q&A with John Sales afterwards. So we're rocking and rolling with the Labor Fest. Every day is something new.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Yeah, I love Labor Fest because you guys have so many fun events and there's so many different things.
Yeah, we had some great tours this week, actually. We did the Ben Shahn murals at the VOA. We toured the murals at the Interior Department, which I haven't seen in about 10 years, and it was nice to kind of check in and see that they're still there. We had the Women's History bike ride.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
What's going on now?
On here in D.C., you know. I was just telling Patty, you know, this is the loudest city around, I tell you. You know, between the sirens and the motorcades and everything, you know, I need to move out to the country. It's getting too loud.
I'm all about that.
Anyway, we've got the whole lineup, and, you know, it's only the 12th, so we still got, you know, what, almost 2-3 weeks left, virtually every day except the next two Sundays, actually. We'll have at least one, maybe two, maybe three different events. A lot of them are free. A lot of them are free. So, you know, folks could just, like, today's screening completely free. People bring their lunch, they hang out, they have a one-hour program, and then they head on back to the office. So it's there's a little something for everyone in the Labor Fest.
That sounds like a lovely lunch break.
It is. It's good. You get to see some labor friends, you get to see a little labor art, and you know, it's a good way to spend your lunch hour.
I definitely agree, and I like the fact that, yeah, you make it so it's accessible for your lunch. So it's a, you know, come, bring your lunch, do something productive, essentially, with your lunch. And it's kind of nice to have, you know, a change of scenery and a change of just changing your day. And it looks something to look forward to. Go back after lunch.
Right.
You're nice and refreshed.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe makes you not want to go back, though.
Well, hey, what you do after lunch, that's up to you. You know, it's just as far as I can tell, it's still a free country. So For the moment. I don't know.
That's
things are
the
changing
key word.
Day by day here.
Yeah, that's a key Ouch. Word for the moment at this point.
Exactly. So, but, you know, and I will tell you the other thing, just, you know, if you've seen, is with Comey getting fired, I've really been getting some interesting back channel information from folks, you know, not just in the FBI, but government workers are just sort of appalled, you know, to fire somebody at that level and to do it in the way that he was fired, you know, not face-to-face. It was really, you know, a lot of people feel like it was cowardly, you know, to not call him in. And, you know, you got a problem with the guy, fine. But, you know, to fire him and he finds out about it on TV, that's pretty rude.
Yeah. Yeah. This whole thing is still, I feel like there's many more layers to be pulled back from this onion.
Oh, this is the bottomless onion, guys. We're not done with this onion. It's going to be a whole lot more crime before this onion gets peeled. I can tell you that for sure.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a really fascinating movie someday.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Hey, movie? Yeah, I think you're talking about a mini-series. I think you're talking about, you know, yeah.
Two hours is not enough to encapsulate this.
I can't wait till some of these people that are on the inside start dishing and telling what really happened.
Yeah. Needless to say, you are our closest thing we've got to a man on the ground in D.C.
I'm doing my best, folks, but I mean, I tell you, it is ugly out here. You know, really, a lot of fear, a lot of loathing. People don't know what to expect. And, you know, I think that's sort of the biggest problem is that, and I think everybody's worked for a boss like this. I know I have, you know, you just don't know what they're going to do. And so it almost doesn't matter if what they do is good or bad. If they're unpredictable, which Trump seems to think is a good thing, you just don't know. I mean, I was thinking about poor Sean Spicer, who I'm not a big fan of, but man, did he get hung out to dry. You know, you send him out there with 1 hour. He was not in that loop, right?
Mm-hmm.
1 hour, go out there, peddle this blatantly foolish story, and then 2 days later go on TV and say, yeah, no, that's not really what was going on. I mean, I tell you, anybody pulls that with me, I am gone.
Well, I heard Sean Spicer tried to hide in the bushes.
He did. He was in the bushes. He's like, turn the lights out, you know, yeah. I'm telling you, you know.
You know, I sort of feel bad for him. I think I shouldn't, but I do kind of feel bad for him. Like, wow, this, you have the hardest job in the country, maybe.
He gets paid well, so I wouldn't feel too bad for him.
Right. Fair.
I think it's a fair assessment, you know. I'm glad it's not me. I don't think I could roll with that, especially, you know, being reduced to hiding in the bushes to hide from the media.
Aww.
I just can't. I feel a little bad for him. Just a little. There's like a slight little glimmer. It's very tiny.
How about Kellyanne? You guys down with Kellyanne?
She's back. I don't know what happened, like who blacklisted her and then who decided that she's allowed to come back in the media again. But I sort of have the same opinions of her. I dislike her, but I also think that she's an excellent verbal gymnast. And
well put. That's one way of saying it.
And you know, it's you know, she gets ripped to shreds pretty much all the time. So on that level, I do feel bad for her sometimes. But then again, they both chose these jobs, so you know.
Well, I think the deal with her was that they were desperate. I mean, they had to try and cobble this thing together really quickly. And what they needed was people they could rely on, you know, who weren't going to ask, you know, uncomfortable questions about, wait a minute, now what, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. You know, their flimsy, you know, sort of backdating, you know, the memo didn't hold up for 2 seconds. And so, you know, folks, I mean, I'm not that good. I couldn't go out and peddle a story like that with a straight face. I'm just not that good.
Neither am I, Chris.
As a professional, I got to give them, you know, props for doing that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's really, on a serious level, it's undermining our faith in democracy. This is not good.
And on that note, we are out of time and we've got to run, but we should definitely pick this back up another day. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.